So what do you say to a congregation that's in turmoil, struggling with conflict, divided? What do you say to people who may be disappointed? To people who are tired? I'm tired. I ask, do you see all this, God? Do you care? Are you going to do anything? So this morning's message is the God who knows. Because he does see. And he does care. And he is going to do something. I enjoy the perspective from an airplane when I'm flying. That's why I like to fly. Because I like to be able to look down and see a wide perspective, to see many things, to see things in a way that I haven't seen them and don't normally get to see them. I read a description from an astronaut who was looking down on the Earth from space. And he was looking, where he gave his description was from Chicago, and he talked about how he could see so widely. He could see the Mississippi, he could see down towards Washington and see the things that were there, obviously not the tiniest details like the Washington Monument, but he could kind of see what was there, and he could see this wideness, and yet he saw some of the details. He could see the fields and the cities and the rivers. Our God has such a view of the world. He sees things fully, and yet he sees the details. I'd like to read to you this morning again Psalm 139. I read it last week as a call to worship. It applies to us as individuals. David wrote it of himself. It applies to us as a congregation. So let me read it. O Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. You know us. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all of my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in, behind, and before. You've laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day. The darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Can you say that about our church this morning? Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I wake, I'm still with you. I'm going to skip the next several verses. They talk about David's enemies. We're not enemies here. We have one enemy. I'm going to go down to verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. David was convinced that God knew him, that God was intimately involved in who he had created him to be, and with him in all of the things that he encountered in life. That's what he trusted. That's what he's talking about here in this psalm. And God is with us in the same way. God knows who we are. God does see. God knows the place that we're at. Another verse that comes to mind for me when I think of this comes from 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9, where it says, "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him." Has something to do with my thoughts when I think about being in an airplane and seeing in the way that God sees. He can search throughout. He sees us. He knows all that there is to know. God sees the big picture. He sees the big picture of history and of world events. He sees the big picture of our lives and of all the lives that are interwoven with ours. Not only does he see the vast scope of geography, but he sees the vast scope of history, of our history. We are limited to the present and to just a bit from the past. He sees all from the past, the present, and the future. He sees the big picture of our church. At the same time, he knows the incredible details of our lives, as Psalm 139 points out to us. So I'm going to focus this morning here on this verse from 2 Chronicles. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Second Chronicles here, we're reading in Second Chronicles about the account of King Asa. That's where this verse comes from. King Asa was a good king, king of Judah, the southern kingdom. At this point, the kingdom of Israel is divided in two. You have Judah as the southern kingdom and Israel as the northern kingdom. North, yet, of Israel was Damascus and Syria. And so when Asa becomes king, he begins reforms. He begins getting rid of all the false idols and begins tearing down the false altars. And God honors that. And King Asa has quite a few years of peace. No enemies coming at him. And during that time, he builds up his army. And then Zerah the Cushite comes against Asa. Zerah has a large army, larger than Asa's army. And so Asa calls on the Lord. He calls out for the Lord. He says, "We're going to be overwhelmed. Help us. We can depend only on you." And then they go into battle. And King Asa's army routs Zerah the Cushite and his army. And the Cushites are destroyed. Asa receives a word from a prophet after this, helping him to understand that if you will do the Lord's work and if you will be committed to the Lord, you will experience the strength of the Lord. And so Asa does that. He continues his reform. He restores the worship of God in the land. And for many years, again, King Asa has peace. But in his 35th year, the king of Israel, the northern kingdom, Baasha, begins to fortify the city of Ramah. Now, the city of Ramah is just about 5 miles north of Jerusalem in Judah. And so he begins to fortify the city, and what he does is he keeps anybody from going in and out of Judah. And it's a threat to Asa and the southern kingdom of Judah. And so Asa calls on the king of Damascus. and he sends him money. And he says, make an alliance with me, break your alliance with Baasha. Well, the king of Damascus says, you're giving me more money than Baasha, and so he does it. And so the king of Damascus begins to attack towns in the northern part of Israel. And Baasha has to leave what he's doing in Ramah and go to defend his country. And so, as it turns out, King Asa is freed. He's able to go and tear down all the fortifications that were made in Ramah. But after this, King Hanani comes to, or Hanani the seer, a prophet, comes to him, and this is where the verse 16:9 comes in. He says, you relied on another king. That wasn't good. He says, remember how when you relied on God, how he took care of you? And he gives this verse, for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. So I believe this little verse answers three questions that we may ask in the midst of struggle in our lives, whether it's the struggle we're in as a congregation or other struggles in your lives individually. The first is, does God see me? Does God care? Well, this verse tells us God searches for those who are in need. God does care. God is searching. God is watching. God sees. Do you believe that God has found us or can find us where we're at? Think about on the computers. Used to be when it was searching, I don't think they have this, the Windows version we're in now doesn't have this little graphic, but it used to have this little graphic, these little googly eyes. And they were going back and forth and circling around while the computer was searching. It's what I think of. God searches. They range throughout the earth. So perhaps you wonder if you're going unnoticed as you face a challenge or as we face our challenge. Perhaps you think you're too small or unimportant or outside of God's scope in his searching. We can become comforted to know that at the moment when we think we are all on our own to face a challenge, in actuality, God's searching eyes have landed on us. He sees us. He knows our challenge. He hasn't missed us. I'm amazed at web search engines. In just a few seconds' time, a search can turn up hundreds, thousands, millions of hits. I searched the word amazing. There were 2.7 billion hits in 0.85 seconds. I don't know how there could be that many, but that's what came up. I decided to go with something a little narrower. I tried the word cedar. I don't know why, just what came to my mind. 2.25 million hits in 0.9 seconds. Then I tried my name, Philip. 321 million hits in 1.29 seconds. I'm here to tell you that God's search engine is faster and more powerful. It doesn't miss one of us who's in trouble. Asa forgot that he could be Googled by God. Is there a way that we can aid God's search, God's seeing of us? It's not that God's unable to complete his search on his own. But we must heed his call to come out of hiding. On the web, if I make more, I have a more successful search, if I state some more specific parameters when I'm looking for something, honesty is one of the first parameters. We must come to God honestly, expressing our need, our fear, our feelings, our thoughts, no matter how negative they may seem. Honest assessment is the first step. King Asa did that the first time around. In 2 Chronicles 14:11, Then Asa called to the Lord his God and said, Lord, there's no one like you to help the powerless. He said, we're powerless against the mighty. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rely on you and in your name we've come against this vast army. O Lord, you are our God. Do not let man prevail against us. Asa was in touch with what he was afraid of. He was in touch with what he needed. And he called on God. I'm kind of amazed at how often I need to really get in touch with my own need and recognize what I am fretting about, what I am worrying about, what I'm trying to take care of on my own, failing to truly bring my need before God and let it rest in his hands. Sometimes we need to clearly, carefully outline what is really our true need. What is it that we really need from God right now? It's not so that God knows exactly what we need, but it's so that we can begin to trust God for our need. That honesty and perhaps humility with God is an important parameter for making ourselves available to God's search. Well, what can we expect from God? What can you expect? The verse here tells us that you can expect that God will strengthen you. We can expect that God will strengthen us. We cannot expect that God will simply take away the challenge that we face. In King Asa's case, he still had to face the mighty army of Zerah the Cushite. God didn't take that away, but God strengthened him. King Asa proclaims his insufficient resource and his reliance on God. Strengthen is sometimes translated, show yourself strong in the behalf of. So we're asking God, show yourself strong on our behalf. Strongly support us. Show your power in helping. Show your might in behalf of. God wants to work in a way that shows that he is strong and able to supply all that we need. He wants it to show how much he loves us and to bring glory to himself. That's what God wants to do. When we want to strengthen something, we don't remove it from the environment which is causing the stress, but rather we add to it, we reinforce it. If we have a wall, we reinforce that wall. We build it stronger. If it's a piece of cloth, we add threads to it or another piece of cloth sewn to it so that it is able to withstand the force against it. When we want to strengthen our bodies, we don't sit on the couch. We exercise them. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." We can expect to be strengthened. What is God looking for? It says in this verse, God wants your commitment. God wants our commitment. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. He's looking for our commitment. God is searching for those with committed hearts. We must be committed to God at all times, not just when there's trouble. We have a tendency to drift when things seem good or easy. God is able to help those who rely on him. It's easy to put our reliance elsewhere. If we ask for outside help here, is that putting our reliance elsewhere, we might ask? God's word tells us it's good to seek wise counsel. And so we want to do that as a congregation, but that's not a substitute. We do that in our reliance on God. We continue to seek God as we seek counsel. It is as we rely on God that we will be strengthened, that God will be able to show His strength in our lives. To rely on means to rest on. It means that we trust God regardless of the circumstances and what they may look like. On one hand, that seems kind of scary. On the other hand, the circumstances are usually, often, out of our control. And in times of crisis, what do we need more than rest? Another way to say it is that we must put our faith in God. Faith is difficult when we don't see all the results. A preacher on the radio one time put it in a good perspective for me. He read the verse from Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. In that chapter there in Hebrews, it talks about the people of faith. It talks about Abraham. Abraham saw the promise of a child fulfilled, but he did not see the promise of a land or numerous descendants. That was part of God's promise to him. But Abraham blessed Isaac. Isaac did not see the promise completely fulfilled. But he blessed Jacob. Jacob did not see the promise completely fulfilled. But he blessed Joseph. Joseph did not see the promise completely fulfilled. But he blessed his sons, and he made them promise to take his bones along when they left Egypt for the land where God was going to take them. All of these men, in their commitment and in their trust and in their faith, without seeing the promise completely fulfilled, were strengthened by God throughout their lifetime. That's what God's looking for. That is the commitment that is spoken about here in 2 Chronicles. Not only is God searching for those who are committed and full of faith, but He also searches for those who've not yet put their faith in Christ. And I believe for those who faltered in their faith or their commitment, which I think we all do. I often recognize in my life that I've faltered, that I've been trying to do things on my own, that I have not fully trusted God. In Luke 15, Jesus is accused by the religious people of hanging out with sinners. And he tells three stories. He tells the story of the lost sheep, a shepherd who had 100 sheep and one of them was lost. And the shepherd went out and looked for the one lost sheep. He tells the story of the woman with the 10 lost coins. One of the coins is lost. She goes looking for the coin. And when she finds it, she celebrates. And it tells us there that there's that kind of celebration when one sinner, one lost person is found. There's that kind of celebration in heaven. And then he tells the story of the lost son, the prodigal son, we often call it. And the father there throws a party when the son comes home, when the son comes back. I think there's the same kind of celebration. The same thing happens when we once again commit ourselves fully to the Lord. When we recognize sometimes in our lives that, wow, I haven't really been trusting God here. We have the opportunity at that point to say, God, I realize that. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to be fully committed to you here, God. And God sees us, and God strengthens us. So we worship the God who knows, the God who sees. And I believe He sees us this morning. And I believe He'll strengthen us. I'd like to ask the worship team to come forward. Congregation, please stand. Let's pray together. God, I thank you that you see us, that you know us, that you know where we are. You know where we are in all that we're experiencing. And you haven't left us. But we need to be strengthened by you, Lord, because we're overwhelmed. And so we need your strength. And so we're committing ourselves to you. We're committed to you, Lord. We want to be committed to one another here in the body. And Father, we're asking that you would strengthen us, that you would show us the way, and that we would have the opportunity to see your mighty hand at work in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen.